It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On Tuesday of this week, Democratic State Senator Daylon Leach and Republican State Senator Mike Fulmer introduced legislation that would legalize the use of marijuana in Pennsylvania in situations where a physician approves. A non-psychoactive strain of marijuana called Charlotte's Web is being used in states like Colorado, where it's already legal to control seizures in children who suffer with Dravet's syndrome and other seizure disorders. Mr. Leach and Mr. Fulmer's legislation would legalize medicines beyond Charlotte's Web, making marijuana available to patients with cancer, glaucoma, seizures, and other chronic conditions. 20 states and the District of Columbia have legalized marijuana for medical purposes, and a February 2013 Franklin and Marshall College poll found 82% of Pennsylvanians are in favor of medical marijuana. But Governor Corbett remains opposed to legalizing marijuana for medical or recreational use, and according to his spokesman, Jay Pagney, the governor's position won't change without FDA approval. I'm joined now on the phone from Harrisburg by State Senator Daylon Leach. Senator Leach, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's good to be with you again.
Also with us by phone is Patrick Nightingale, Executive Director of Pittsburgh Normal, a group working towards the legalization of medical marijuana. Patrick Nightingale, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much for having me on.
And with us in studio is Heather Schuker, a Valencia native whose 10-year-old daughter, Hannah Palace, suffers from intractable epilepsy. Ms. Schuker is in favor of the bill and is actively lobbying lawmakers. Heather Schuker, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me on.
If you have a comment or question for our guests, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Are you in favor of legalizing medical marijuana in Pennsylvania? What are the concerns that you have? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Senator Daylon Leach, let me begin with you. Explain what your proposal is about and the approach that you took in crafting your legislation.
Well, essentially, we're trying to get help, medicine to sick kids who need it. As you pointed out, the kids suffering from Dravet syndrome, sometimes suffer up to 100 seizures a day. They often can't develop cognitively or physically. They often die before they're teenagers. In order to treat this, historically, we give them this cocktail of extremely toxic, extremely harmful, and addictive medication, which doesn't work very well and doesn't work very long. The Charlotte's Web they've developed, which, as you say, is not psychoactive. It's just it literally can't get you high. It's an oil that you put under the tongue, has had miraculous effects on the kids that they've given it to. So we think kids in Pennsylvania who are sick and need this medicine should get it. I would say that, if this was a derivative of any other plant, and most of our medicines are derivatives of plants, if this was a derivative of any other plant, it would be in every CVS and Rite Aid in the country. It would be a no-brainer. But because it's marijuana, that word scares people, makes them irrational, makes them sort of lose their minds. And so therefore, we have a governor who says that it doesn't matter that this helps kids. It doesn't matter that it's not harmful, not addictive, and you can't get high from it. Because it's from marijuana, we're not going to let the kids of Pennsylvania get it. That is a morally untenable position.
And clarify, I think you did it to some extent, but explain exactly what form this particular marijuana takes and its potential benefit to patients.
This form, again, there are two major compounds of marijuana. There's THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. That gets you high. That's a psychoactive property. It has other benefits, but it also gets you high. There's also cannabidiol, which do not get you high. They have no psychoactive impact at all. It is the cannabidiols that helps the children with this epilepsy. And so they have bred a strain of marijuana which has almost no THC in it. So it does not intoxicate anybody. You don't smoke it. There's no risk of abuse. And all you do, it's an oil that they put under the tongue, 3 drops twice a day. And, Charlotte, the first little girl who used it, who was close to death when she first got it, is now, 2 years later, 99% seizure-free. Her wheelchair is in the closet. She's now walking. She's now talking. All things she couldn't do before. And so my bill just, and Senator Fulmer's bill, just says, let's legalize medical marijuana. I frankly am more ambitious than this, but I'm willing to take an incremental step, and I'm willing to say, just legalize it for strains that cannot, that do not contain sufficient THC to intoxicate you. If you do that, there's no argument that anyone's going to abuse it. We can argue, fight future battles in the future, but let's get the kids the medicine they need now.
Heather Shuker, what has it been like for you and your daughter, Hannah Pallas, to deal with the intractable epilepsy that she suffers from?
It's been an extreme challenge every day. Every day is different for Hannah. Hannah has over 100 seizures at least a week. She is given emergency medications at least once a week to stop her clustering of seizures. She's been on 18 different seizure medication, none of which help her. She has a vagal nerve stimulator, which is implanted in your chest to try to stop the seizures. That's not very helpful. She's been on special diets and failed those. Every avenue that we've tried to go down to stop her seizures, we have been unsuccessful with.
And you said you've tried 18 different medications. What are some of the things that you have tried that you have given her?
Or the
that
types the doctors of medications?
Have, yes.
She's been on Keppra, Lamictal, Clobazam, Depakote, and just a myriad of other medications.
And why are you convinced that medical marijuana is the thing that would help your daughter's condition?
I'm convinced because of the stories that have come out of Colorado. There's over a 90% success rate with these children in a reduction of their seizures. As Senator Leach had indicated, Charlotte, her seizures went from at least 1,200 seizures a month down to 3 or 4 a month. She's now running around laughing. She wants to be a ballerina. She's talking now. She was at end of life. And I've seen the digression in my daughter over the last at least 2 years. Hannah used to run around. She was happy and feeding herself, but now she pretty much is just lays around all day long. I now carry her wherever she has to go. She doesn't laugh. She doesn't smile, and we have to feed her.
Patrick Nightingale, Executive Director of Pittsburgh Normal. What would happen if someone like Heather Shuker were to acquire medical marijuana for her daughter based on the way the current laws read in Pennsylvania?
Well, she would most certainly be prosecuted for a misdemeanor-level offense, a possessory offense, and I am quite sure that if Child Protective Services found out that a mother was administering a Schedule I controlled substance to their child, that Child Protective Services would swoop in with a dependency petition and whisk Hannah out of Heather's custody and into foster custody. That type of result is disgusting. It is unfathomable, but that is exactly what would happen because of this fallacy that marijuana is a Schedule I controlled substance. And that's the issue that I think that Governor Corbett just cannot get past, that at the passage of the Controlled Substances Act in the early 1970s, there was an arbitrary and unscientific decision to place marijuana in Schedule I, meaning that it has a high potential for abuse and no medicinal properties. However, especially since California legalized medicinal marijuana in 1996, we have seen clinical study after clinical study, the type of studies which would otherwise qualify for FDA clinical trials, placebo-based, double-blind clinical studies. We've seen study after study showing that cannabis can be effective in the treatment of seizure disorder, chronic neuropathic pain, and a wide variety of other conditions. There have been hundreds of published scientific papers. Marijuana has probably been the single most studied compound in the past 10 to 15 years. Yet despite all this, we get the red herring from Governor Corbett. Well, if the FDA weighs in on this and says it's okay, then that's fine by me. They're not going to weigh in on it because it is Schedule I. Unless the DEA reschedules marijuana to at least Schedule II, the FDA cannot conduct clinical trials. The DEA has resisted every single attempt for reclassification, despite the fact, again, there is no scientific basis for its Schedule I classification.
Well, what can you tell us about U.S. Attorney Eric Holder's directive on this?
Well, it's a bold initiative, and it's a directive that says we are going to respect the will of the voters in Colorado and Washington as long as we do not see this turning into a situation where it is being abused and being used to traffic in narcotics, being used to launder money, or we don't see some type of corresponding spike in issues such as DUI, teen marijuana use, or overall nuisance. Practically speaking, individual U.S. attorneys in jurisdictions with marijuana have been wielding the Controlled Substances Act like a club and beating down medicinal marijuana initiatives. They have been going after dispensaries. They have been going after growers. They have been going after consumers. That has been on a case-by-case basis. There has been no consistent federal approach because these individual U.S. attorneys in various jurisdictions have pretty much had carte blanche to do whatever they want. And what is particularly offensive about this is that the President of the United States, President Obama, freely admitted to consuming marijuana when he was in high school, and had he ever been caught, he would not be president of the United States. And despite this, he continues to say that he believes it's a Schedule I controlled substance. It's ridiculous.
Well, and I think you could also use, based on what he has said, President Clinton in the same way that you used President Obama as an example, because, of course, he famously said that he tried marijuana but never inhaled. But does the governor have a point? Because when he says that he's waiting for a federal government ruling on this, even though one is apparently not coming anytime soon, even the Epilepsy Foundation has not fully embraced this treatment. They say that the research into medical marijuana and seizure control is not complete and that it may take years, or at least a couple of years, to know more than we know now. So is the governor, does he deserve some kind of credit in this situation for being cautious?
No, absolutely not. Every day, sick people sign off on non-FDA-approved treatment regimens if it is something that they and their physician believe can help with their condition. Why should Heather be denied the opportunity to discuss this treatment option with a neurologist and say, you know what, it may be experimental, it may be risky, but I'm going to try it because nothing else has worked? Why should Heather have to wait years? Why should sick Pennsylvanians be forced to move to our medicinal states? Why should they be forced to become medical refugees just so, you know, we can all say, well, wait a minute, we've studied it to death, and now we know exactly what anecdotal evidence and what real patient testimony has been telling us for years?
Heather, describe what you go through as the parent of a child with intractable epilepsy, just what your day-to-day life is like.
Well, you know, it's not something that a parent would ever want to go through. Every day is different for Hannah. She just to see her suffer from these seizures on a daily basis is just so traumatic. We never know which seizure is going to take her life, and most of her seizures are at night, and I sleep with her every night, and my biggest fear is that I wake up in the morning and she's no longer going to be with me. And just to know that there is something out there that is helping these children and we can't get it is just so unfair.
Senator Leach, is this a fairly common story among some of your constituents?
Oh, yeah. We have many families that we're now working with. We have a website and a Facebook page where we feature a different child every day. I would say that, the one thing that I just have trouble wrapping my mind around is, what would Governor Corbett want if it were his child? Would he want the access to this if his child was being racked by seizures constantly but was being helped in other places? Would he want this access to this medication? Of course he would. It is just simple human compassion to do this. And so, you know, I don't think Governor Corbett deserves credit. I mean, keep in mind, you know, with Governor Cuomo last week, we have 21 other states where people are getting medical marijuana as they need it. So the federal government is not preventing people from doing that. And it's time that Pennsylvania do this. When Governor Corbett said, "I am only going to do this if the FDA approves it," keep in mind there's three things that are important. Number one, that is like saying, "I am only going to do this if something that's not going to happen happens." So that's not really an offer to do anything. Number two, he even walked that back the next day and said, "Well, I didn't mean to say that I've changed my position. I'll still veto any bill with marijuana, no matter what." The interesting thing is every time he makes a statement like this, he actually, at the end of his press release, that, "But keep in mind, I am compassionate." Like, who says that? Who feels the need to tell people they're compassionate? It's not like Mother Teresa used to say, "You know, I'm compassionate, just so you know." He knows how bad the optics of this are. That's why he felt the need to address it at all. He's running for re-election. His numbers are not good. And he knows he looks like a monster denying sick children medicine. And that is why I think we can win this if we continue to keep the pressure up.
We are talking about proposed legislation that was introduced this week in the Pennsylvania legislature that would legalize the use of marijuana in Pennsylvania in situations where a physician approves. Our guests include Pennsylvania State Senator Dalen Leach and also a gentleman who is with the organization Pittsburgh Normal, Patrick Nightingale. He's executive director with Pittsburgh Normal, and we thank him for joining us in this segment. We are going to let him go as we continue with our conversation and welcome in some listeners. But Patrick Nightingale, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to discuss this critically important issue.
And also with us in Studio A is Heather Shuker. She is a Valencia native. Her 10-year-old daughter, Hannah Palace, suffers from intractable epilepsy, and Ms. Shuker is in favor of this bill and is actively lobbying lawmakers. We will continue the conversation with her and Senator Leach and welcome your calls at 412-246-2002. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On Tuesday of this week, Democratic State Senator Dalen Leach and Republican State Senator Mike Fulmer introduced legislation that would make medical marijuana legal in Pennsylvania. And the particular strain of marijuana we're talking about is called Charlotte's Web, a non-psychoactive strain of marijuana that's being used in states like Colorado, where it's already legal. In fact, it is legal in 20 states in the United States now, and also the District of Columbia. A poll taken by Franklin and Marshall College last year shows that 82% of Pennsylvanians favor the use of medical marijuana. The question is, how do you feel about it? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. Our guests include Senator Dalen Leach, who introduced this legislation, along with Senator Fulmer. And also with us is Heather Shuker, a Valencia native whose 10-year-old daughter, Hannah Palace, suffers from intractable epilepsy. Let's go to the phones. We have Aaron in Carrick on the line. Aaron, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for having me. My question is, I was wondering if you guys could kind of explain Corbett's reasoning for opposing medical marijuana, given the wide support for it, and given the optics of, you know, denying medicine to sick kids. Like what's he thinking? I'm not asking sarcastic. I'm literally asking, what is he actually thinking? Why does he think this is a politically good idea? to oppose this. And I'm happy to take my answer off the air.
All right, Aaron. Well, thank you for that call. And Senator Leach, in case you didn't hear the question, Aaron is asking, why is Governor Corbett opposing this legislation? Why is he saying that if a bill reaches his desk, he will not sign it?
You know, I can only speculate. I will tell you, when you say 82% of the people are for medical marijuana.
Well, according to one poll, but
my guess is that if you told them, would you be for medical marijuana if it could not get you intoxicated, it was probably up to 95%. I mean, there's no rational reason not to give these kids this medicine. I try to figure out what would cause someone not to support this. And the only thing I can think of is, you know, marijuana was tied up in the 60s in a bunch of culture war issues like Vietnam and abortion and all that that have nothing to do with the world now. But it, in the minds of some very, very conservative people, it still retains that stigma. Governor Corbett has not moved beyond sort of the ideological knee-jerk reaction to, like, marijuana, oh, my God. So, it's time we do that. The average marijuana smoker, even recreationally, no longer looks like Jerry Garcia. They look more like Dick Cheney. This is not an issue about hippies anymore. This is an issue about, you know, in the terms of medical marijuana, simple medicine. We give people medicine that's opiates. We give people medicine that's highly dangerous and addictive, but we won't give them something simple just because of fear of the word marijuana.
What about if the governor is reluctant to sign your bill, assuming that it passes through the legislature, why not make this a medical marijuana referendum on the fall ballot as residents of the state of Florida are in the process of doing?
Pennsylvania has no referendum law. We can't put issues on the ballot.
And for someone like you, Heather, how frustrating is that?
Oh, that's extremely frustrating for me, sure. Hannah's out of options, and many of these children in Pennsylvania are also out of options. We need something to happen now.
If Pennsylvania doesn't pass this law, Heather, have you considered moving with your daughter to another state where medical marijuana is legal?
I have. In fact, like I just said, Hannah is out of options. She's digressed tremendously, and we need to make some type of a move now.
And before we take another call, Senator Leach, are you convinced that or are you satisfied that enough research has been done, especially when you have groups like the Epilepsy Foundation saying that they feel more tests need to be done?
We would love a full FDA test to be done. That's illegal. And the same people who complain that the FDA has not approved the medicine are usually the same people who also argue that that we should not remove the Schedule I label so the FDA can test it. I mean, ask Governor Corbett, should marijuana be a Schedule I drug? My guess is he says yes, which means there will be no FDA testing. That said, there are, as Patrick said, dozens and dozens of tests. Double-blind placebo tests that demonstrate clearly marijuana's benefit. The only reason we haven't gotten FDA approval, and keep in mind, these associations are tied into FDA approval with other drugs, so they don't want to piss anyone off. But the fact is, the only reason we haven't gotten FDA approval is because the FDA is not allowed to approve it.
412-246-2002, if you'd like to join the conversation about the potential legalization of medical marijuana in Pennsylvania, let's go to Megan in Forest Hills. Megan, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Megan. Are you there?
Sorry about that. I'm calling. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis on my daughter's first birthday, and there's just something eventually that could, if it would pass, actually help me, too. And I'm wondering why Corbett is running on a platform that's anti-big government with the Republican Party, but then just going to go ahead and go with big government and side with the FDA on this matter.
If I can answer that, there's no consistency at all. I mean, first of all, Governor Corbett's anti-big government, but he's telling the government should tell you what, you know, plant you should smoke or what medicine you should get if you're sick. That helps you, number one. Number two, Governor Corbett said the federal government has no business telling Pennsylvania how to deal with health care. We won't set up exchanges under the Affordable Care Act. We won't do Medicaid expansion. The federal government needs to leave us alone. But then when it comes to marijuana, he's like, you know what,
I'm going to, unlike 21 other states, I am going to outsource the decision to the federal government. And then, of course, he walked that back and even took that back. But for one day, he was saying, I'm going to let the federal government, me as a state, what can I do as a governor? So there's no consistency here. This is not about ideological consistency. This is about just, you know, like demonization of marijuana for reasons that are completely irrational.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Judy in Pittsburgh. Judy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you? That's a very interesting program. And what I wanted to mention is I have a son who he uses marijuana to try to control his seizures. And a couple of things that I think are interesting to point out is I've learned all this. Some of the medications that the woman earlier caller mentioned, Keppra, Lamictal, and Zonegran, they all have a side effect. These are all legal. These are the pharmaceutical, you know, anti-seizure drugs. They all have a side effect where once you are using them, if you stop using them or change the doses or even lower the dosage, that can alone can make you have a seizure. And I think that's one thing. I don't think marijuana has that aspect. The other thing that's interesting is that my son was trying to get SSI, and they try to get your medical records. You know, they require medical records for qualification to qualify for SSI. And for some reason, marijuana is listed with other drugs such as like crack and other opiates. And if you're a pharmacy student, you know that it's actually not an opiate, but it's listed with these other sort of very addictive illegal things. And so you're automatically sort of put into that classification if you've disclosed to your doctor that you had used it. And so I guess these two things I wanted to bring. Ultimately, he lost the case too. He was applying for SSI and he lost the case because of that.
Well, two questions that come to mind, Judy. One would be, has the medical marijuana that your son has used, has that helped his condition?
He claims that it does. He thinks it does, and it does not have the effect where if he stops using it, that alone can make him have it. He's had some very serious seizures, I think, as a result of stopping the other medications.
Is he concerned, or are you, about his getting caught because what he's doing is illegal?
Well, I think probably that is a concern. I mean, I think, you know, for a lot of people that use it, I mean.
But you're saying it's worth the risk, or at least that's the way your son feels.
Yeah. I suppose to him, you know, it is. It's better than having seizures, I guess.
Well, sure. And,
yeah.
And
but I think just one of the points, I think that's really interesting, is that they don't point out the dangers of the other, when you get these, you know, the pharmaceutical ones, the legal ones, there are like pages and pages and pages of indications of all the dangers associated, and it produces, they say they can produce psychotic side effects, not the marijuana, the things like the Keppra, Lamictal, the Zonegran, and what happens is once you get on one of these, your brain sort of, I guess, gets sort of wired toward, you know, adapted to it, and if you either change the amount or stop taking it, that alone can cause you to have a seizure.
Well, Judy, Heather, who is sitting here, whose daughter suffers seizures, is nodding. You recognize some of what, or certainly can identify with some of what Judy is saying.
Yes, definitely. Hannah has felt the results of several of these seizure medications. She is what I think she is depressed. She has spastic movements. We're trying to wean her off of Keppra right now, and her seizures have become worse. And the side effects of the withdrawal from these seizure medications can last for years. She has issues with her appetite, and just multiple issues because of these harsh anti-epileptic medications. And, you know, Hannah was, in fact, on a seizure medication for quite some time that was not FDA approved. However, the physician was able to write the script for it. And we received this medication from Canada. So, you know, the fact that medical marijuana is not FDA approved, you know, how were we able to get that medication from Canada?
Senator Leach, what about what Heather is saying here about her daughter Hannah, the harmful side effects that her daughter experienced from drugs that were FDA approved? And Judy brought that same point up as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of the irrationality of the policy. You know, we're not letting people get marijuana because what? It's going to hurt them? You know, but we're allowing them to have all these other drugs, which, you know, are in some cases deadly. I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, I think it just doesn't pass the basic lab test. I would also point out something else that was said, which is that, you know, these people who are forced in Pennsylvania, because we don't have a medical marijuana regime, to get marijuana and use it, and hope they don't get caught. You know, this guy is trying to, you know, fight seizures. He's desperately trying to help himself medically. If he's caught doing that, he can never work, for example, in a public school again. He can never, for the rest of his life, anytime he fills out an application and it says, have you ever been convicted of a crime, he has to check the box that says yes. So, you know, this is just devastating to people's careers. The only thing they're trying to do is help themselves not be sick. That shows you what a horribly immoral policy this is.
It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we are talking with State Senator Dalen Leach, who helped introduce legislation that would legalize medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. It's legal already in 20 states in the United States. And also with us in studio, Heather Shuker, Valencia native. Her 10-year-old daughter, Hannah Palace, suffers from intractable epilepsy, and she is in favor of this bill and is actively lobbying lawmakers to make medical marijuana legal in this state. If you'd like to join the conversation, have a comment or question for our guests, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Steve in Bloomfield. Steve, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if the ultimate objective of legalizing medical marijuana is to legalize recreational marijuana, as in Colorado.
Senator Leach, you were already trying to bring a bill to the floor last year to legalize marijuana for recreational use as well, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, I would point out there are two separate issues. I mean, some people who support medical marijuana want to see marijuana legalized for all purposes. Some of them don't. Some of the people, you know. But the point is that they're separate issues. We can give people the medicine they need, and then fight whatever other battles are relevant down the line. And we can make decisions based on what's appropriate. We shouldn't deny people medicine that makes them better because someone's worried that someone's going to smoke pot and get high. I mean, I don't know why that's a problem for anyone else. If you don't want to do it, you're never required to do that. But, you know, keep in mind, you know, there are people who want to legalize all drugs. There's people who want to legalize morphine recreationally, okay? I'm not one of those people. There are such people. Does that mean we shouldn't give people in pain in hospitals morphine? No. It's a completely separate argument.
Let's go to Jim in Pittsburgh. Jim. You're on Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Jim.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for Senator Leach, who just made the statement a short time ago that the FDA cannot test the medicinal efficacy of marijuana because it is illegal. The FDA, obviously, for example, has tested and approved certain opioid medications that contain opium, which is an illegal substance. What is the basis upon which he indicates that the FDA cannot test marijuana for medicinal efficacy?
It's not because the drug is illegal. It's because it's Schedule One. There's five schedules of drugs. Most opioids are Schedule Two. Schedule II drugs can be tested by the FDA, no problem. Schedule I drugs are only a few drugs where they say there's no legitimate purpose ever. You can't even test it. These include marijuana, ecstasy, and crack, okay? Marijuana is put in the same category as crack, okay? So there's obviously no FDA testing of the medicinal benefits of crack. And so, you know, that is why. It's not because marijuana is illegal. Morphine is illegal to carry recreationally, but it's not a Schedule I drug, so the FDA can, in fact, test it.
Let's go to Christine in Hershey. Christine, go ahead with your question on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator. Good afternoon, Heather. My question is, based on the statewide poll of the overwhelming support of the medical marijuana and also the national poll that was done several months ago with the similar results. What needs to be done here in Pennsylvania then to move the current bill, 1182, forward? What are the next steps that need to be happen, not so much within the, you know, senators, but with the voters, with people like us? How do we get their attention? How do we get this in the forefront?
The way you do with any political issue, you got to get involved. You got to meet with your state representatives, state senators. Will they support this? Will they publicly support it? You got to have rallies. You got to write letters. You got to ask to meet with the governor. You got to write letters to the editor and editorials. You got to create a groundswell, you know, like you would if, you know, there was a legislative pay raise. That's a good example that, you know, you would, when that passed, it was almost like, you know, we were taking everyone's firstborn. And, you know, so whereas you can debate the merits of that, but that didn't affect anyone's life. This is killing people. We really should get pissed about this. You know, get out in the streets and start protesting and making your voice heard, that tell Governor Corbett to stop denying sick children medicine they need.
I'm part of an organization in Pennsylvania, PA Advocates for MMJ. You can find us on Facebook. And we are a large group of individuals that are talking to state legislators daily, sending letters, and just consistently calling them and following up with them. We will be in Harrisburg on January 28th, and we would love to pack the Capitol with people that are on the same page as us that want this medical marijuana legalized to help save our children's lives.
Have you spoken, Heather, to anyone in the governor's office?
I have not. We have tried time and time again to get in touch with him, sending multiple letters, follow-up letters, and we're all receiving the same response that they'll get back to us. However, we have been unsuccessful with setting up any type of meeting with him.
If I can
just comment on that.
Yes, Senator Lee.
After the governor immediately, as a slap in the face to these people who have sick children, the day we introduced we had our press conference on this, the governor issues a release saying he'll veto any bill that helps these children, right? So I sent an open letter to the governor. I'm a senator, it's not like it's that important a position, but in the context of state government, it is. I sent an open letter to the governor saying, we'd like to meet with you. The families and me and Senator Fulmer would like to meet with you. The governor ignored it, completely ignored it. I mean, it's very unusual for governors to ignore requests from state senators. Completely ignored it.
So you've had no response either?
No response, nothing. And then we had six families, at least six I'm aware of, filed a formal request with the governor's office to say, will you meet with us? Not one of them, the governor's not agreed to meet with anyone. This has been a couple months now. The governor is just completely dismissive and disinterested in the plight of these children, apparently.
We're running out of time, and I wanted to get in at least a couple more calls. We have Derek from Long Beach, California calling. Derek, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. I understand you are a former resident of Pennsylvania.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead with your comment or question.
Just wanted a quick comment to put out there. I was born in Pennsylvania, lived there my whole life. Never had any problems with Pennsylvania, except that I was diagnosed with severe migraines last year. Worse than a lot of people would normally get. Mine would be to the point where it would put me out for 3 to 4 days, where I couldn't work, barely could eat, barely could sleep. The nausea would be so horrible that you really couldn't even have sound on in the room, light on in the room. So I seek medical help in Pittsburgh by one of the most reputable doctors for headaches and migraines. And when prescribed the medication, it only made things worse. And by them doing that to compensate for the side effects, only prescribed me more drugs. So I did relocate to California, and since have got rid of all of those medications completely. I only use marijuana, only use cannabis for treatment of that. I since then get maybe once every 3 months get just a tension headache, but I can honestly say it's really done wonders for me. And I want the people of Pennsylvania and everyone to know that it's caused one person to leave the state. And I really, really, truly hope that it doesn't cause other people that really have only their health in mind and really just only want to better themselves. I really hope that it doesn't happen more.
Well, we're glad that you're feeling better, Derek, and thank you for sharing your story with us. It would be, I think, prudent at this point, however, to mention that, at least with regard to epilepsy, that this is something that can be used to treat symptoms, but there are those who would emphasize that it is not a cure. Go ahead, Heather.
It's not a cure, and, you know, a lot of us don't even know the diagnosis as to why our children are having seizures. Hannah's still getting genetic testing done to try to figure out what the clinical diagnosis is. We may never know, and quite honestly, we probably won't know. So we're not necessarily looking for a cure. We're looking for our children to have relief. We're looking for them to have a better quality of life. We're looking for them to just at least have one more day to live.
Can I just also say that some of the children who receive Charlotte's Web are seizure-free, 100% seizure-free. So if you're not having seizures anymore, while I don't know if that's technically a cure, it seems like it's close enough.
Absolutely close enough. That's what we want.
Well, it's been a good conversation. I want to thank both of our guests for taking the time to join us, Pennsylvania State Senator Dalen Leach, who, along with State Senator Mike Fulmer, introduced legislation that would legalize the use of marijuana in Pennsylvania in situations where a physician approves. Senator Leach joining us by phone from Harrisburg, thank you so much for being with us. Also, thanks to Heather Shuker, a Valencia native. Her 10-year-old daughter, Hannah Pallas, suffers from intractable epilepsy, and she's in favor of this bill and is actively lobbying lawmakers. Joining us here in Studio A, Heather, thank you so much for being with us, and we hope that your daughter is doing better soon.
Thank you.
Coming up on Essential Pittsburgh, our travel correspondent Elaine LeBalm takes us to Quebec City. That's next as Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.